May the force be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up the force.
We lift up the force to you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Remakers, Mark. And welcome to this a very, very special episode of Remakers, Mark. It's not a special episode because it talks about a controversial topic or it brings back a well-loved character that seemed to be dead. No, in fact, this is a special, special episode because for the first time ever, we here at Remakers, Mark, are looking at each other in person right now and totally freaking out. That's right. This is a live recording of Remakers,
I'm
Mark.
Freaking out.
That's right. So we are all in Jer's residence that has recording studios. So we're in a straight up recording studio room with funny looking walls and equally funny looking people. And we're very excited about it. And what brings this about is that our good friend Andy Wicks, our Michigander, who we give so much crap for being a Michigander, is in town. And we're very excited to have him here. And because of this special occasion, we thought, you know, let's get together and be awkward, as we are wont to do.
As we do.
Yes. So we are all... He's right there.
I'm right here, guys. I'm right here.
I know. It's not even a hologram or nothing. So we are all here together. And what we're doing is we are replicating an episode that nearly was. So
this is take two, you can
this
call.
This is take two, yes. When we were originally going to be recording our Slapshot episode, our friend Lee Halfspin said that he was not feeling well. And we'll give you that, Lee. That's okay. Happens to the best of us. Don't worry about it. And he wasn't able to make it. So the rest of us met and thought, you know, should we record without Lee? And we thought, you know, no, that's not cool. That's not a good idea. It's just not the same without Lee Halfspin. So we decided, like, oh, let's maybe whip a special episode together real quick. So we talked amongst ourselves and we thought, you know, this is a sports-related movie, Slapshot, at the time. And we thought, you know, let's do something sports-related, maybe favorite sports-related moments. So we did that. We recorded a special episode at that time.
It was gold.
It was gold. It was fun. Mm-hmm. It was a little loose in a way that I think is really exciting. Take that as you will. And but it was really fun.
We're so loose.
That's just a true and it's a general rule. So we were, you know, finishing up and saying, hey, that was a lot of fun. Great, thanks. You know, as usual, we put our files in Dropbox and everything was going. And then I went on my recorder and then pulled my little SD card and listened. And turns out there was no files there. So 3/4 of us recorded the file. 1/4 of us did not, that being me. So we're going to do it again. And now we have 5/5 of us here. Sorry.
Which equals one.
Math.
We have one of us.
We have one of the lot of us. So this episode is favorite sports-related moments in movies. Now, it doesn't have to be movies about sports explicitly, but just moments that pertain to sports or that are related to sports in any kind of movie. So we're going to do two rounds here, and we're each going to give one pick and just talk a little bit about it and then provide reaction, such as wow or bam or pap. Things like that. Just whatever happens. Biff, kapow.
So I'm in the episode with the pap.
No, it's weird.
It's a classic.
Even by Batman standards, that one is pretty weird. All right, so I'm going to start us off here. So my first pick, it's strange. I don't like boxing very much, but I seem to like boxing movies, which is weird, but so be it. So my first pick is from the movie Raging Bull. There is a fight towards the end of the movie where Jake LaMotta, Robert De Niro playing Jake LaMotta, is fighting Sugar Ray Robinson. I can't remember if it's for the first time or the second time, but the way that it is filmed, so if you've seen Raging Bull, you know it's in black and white. It's very dynamic, very high contrast, just beautifully shot. So it's not like your typical sports film. It's very much a drama that happens to be about sports, not a sports movie that has some drama. But in this case, this is a very sports-centric scene where they're in the boxing ring and Jake LaMotta is fighting Sugar Ray Robinson. And Jake LaMotta is a very troubled character in a lot of different ways in this movie. He fights a lot of demons, and in this case, he's kind of fighting a literal demon in front of him in Sugar Ray Robinson.
Except a figurative demon.
Thank you. A figurative, literal demon. Thank you. Sorry. Beer.
Metaphorically speaking,
yes. And the way that it is filmed, so Scorsese, the director, did some really unique filmmaking stuff, especially around sound, but he did some slow motion stuff in the scene that I thought was really cool. So Jake LaMotta is basically telling Sugar Ray Robinson to lay into him. So he's not even rope-a-doping. He just wants to get the crap beat out of himself. Like, that's where his demon lies. He's just asking him, come and get me, come at me. And so he's standing there on the ropes, and there's a scene where it pulls back to Sugar Ray Robinson, and it kind of does that vertigo shot where it zooms in and pans out at the same time kind of thing. And then he's standing there slow motion, sort of bobbing, and there's flash bulbs going off. And you can hear kind of the crowd as you would hear it as if it were in slow motion as well. And it's just really, really interesting and really very powerful moment. And then it goes in, and then the sound goes to normal speed, the action goes to normal speed, and the punches hit hard. I mean, they're like Raiders of the Lost Ark punch hard. I mean, they are just like true punch sounds. I mean, he's just getting the crap beat out of him. And Scorsese threw in like tiger sounds, which when you say it out loud sounds really weird, but in the moment you don't notice it as a tiger unless you pay attention to it. But it's just fierceness embodied. It's just absolutely terrifying. And you just see this man getting the living daylights beat out of him. And it's just so effective and so kind of terrifying, but you know that he wants it. So it doesn't make it more comforting, but man, that's tough. So yeah, so that's my first scene, is the battle between Jake LaMotta and Sugar Ray Robinson in Raging Bull.
I've never seen Raging Bull, but the way you describe it as a drama that happens to be about sports or boxing reminds me of the original Rocky.
Yep.
So how, and I've seen Rocky, how would you compare those two, especially looking at the fight scenes?
I would say it's very akin to what a Scorsese movie would be like versus, did Stallone direct Rocky? I think so.
He wrote it.
I'm not sure if he directed it.
Okay. So it's, I mean, take, it's an art boxing film,
yeah,
if you will.
Okay.
It's very,
I think the fight sequences in Rocky seem to be much more straightforward.
Yeah.
Versus, it sounds like Martin used a lot of other effects.
Yeah.
You know, to
not
to
every battle is quite that affected. There are some that are more straightforward, and there is even kind of like a montage of sorts, not the training montage, but a boxing montage. Yeah. Even Rocky had a montage. That's right. But yeah, so there is some straightforward filmmaking, but it's as unique as a Scorsese movie tends to be. That just happens to be a boxing movie. It's fantastic. It's my favorite movie of his, which is no small feat.
Did you see, and how do you feel about Ali?
I liked Ali. I thought it was good. I thought Will Smith was incredible. I don't remember a lot about it, which isn't a bad thing, but it didn't stick with me as much as something like Raging Bull did.
The moments in Ali that struck me and sat with me were the non-boxing moments.
Yeah.
The one that I remember off the top of my head is when he's sort of training or jogging or warming up or whatever, and he's running around town in Zaire or Congo or wherever he is, and all the kids start following him, and it's sort of the weight of what he's doing and what it represents sort of hits him.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool how that happens, and how Will Smith plays it is pretty outstanding. He does an outstanding job.
There's less cultural and historic weight to Raging Bull, but take that level of weight and put it on a character by character level, and that's the weight that's in the movie. It's the relationship between him, and it's basically all about his insecurity, and the way that he gets his insecurity out is by fighting people, whether that be other boxers, whether that be his wife. So there's spousal abuse, there's emotional abuse between him and his brothers. So I mean, there's a lot of that same kind of weight, but it's in a different context, if you will.
A much more personal, individual weight.
Yeah. Yep. You got it. So that's my number one. Mark, what was your first one?
Well, my first sports-related film moment is one of those things that is not from a sports movie, as you say, Kyle. It is rather it's from a sort of heist movie, and that movie is Snatch.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Guy Ritchie film about, well, God, about so many things, but yeah, you just have to see it.
Mark, did you steal my idea for my first one?
Oops.
Turns out I did, but this is the exact same thing that I did in our first take of this episode. Right.
So I stole your idea for this one.
Yeah, turns out you stole mine.
Well, we'll move you later on in the queue, Andy. You'll have time to think about it. That's right. Okay.
Carry on.
Sorry, I didn't know this thing was happening where we were actually writing stuff down.
We're very fancy.
You didn't also know that I changed my mind, so I don't remember what I did for the first one.
Sorry. Well, I'm going to keep going. And in Snatch, we meet Brad Pitt's character, Mickey, and in a tiny bit of a spoiler, it turns out that he's a bare-knuckle boxing champion. But the first time that we really see what he does, he's kind of a very, very lean sort of guy, and he's facing off against the character that is established as the champion fighter, and his name is Gorgeous. We're not really expecting a lot from Mickey, But then the first punch that's thrown in the fight turns out to be the only punch that's thrown in the fight. And as Guy Ritchie does, it's very, very frenetic. There's a lot of contrast in the pacing. And the actual punch is very, very quick. And then the aftermath takes a very long time.
Yeah.
And I love that moment that Mickey throws his punch and then the world stops.
Yeah.
And Gorge just slowly falls to the ground. And I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. I think Guy Ritchie can be accused of using artifice in his films. And I think you can, like a lot of things with films, you could say that damningly or complimentarily. And I think this case, it was very complimentary because all of a sudden this moment where time stops and it's used extreme slow motion. I don't know how many frames per second it is. I think it was probably artificially slowed down. Yeah. But, you know, his body is up in the air as it's falling down. And then they're catching reaction shots. It's probably, 30, 40 seconds maybe of before the body hits the ground and then all hell breaks loose. Yeah, but that
it's
moment
excruciating.
Is, yeah. And you are holding your breath and, you know, bringing your breath in as the viewer and like, oh no, because they build it up really well. They talk about, you know, he's supposed to throw the fight, right? And then he doesn't. In fact, he does so in one punch. He throws the fight oppositely. Yeah, that's a great pick. I love that. Andy, as someone who is potentially going to be talking about that, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Actually, so Mark picked one fight in that movie and I actually picked a different fight in the movie. So we're good.
Pound it out.
So
I picked, pound.
I picked the last fight in that movie with One Punch Mickey, where it's again, so the course of the movie goes that Mickey was supposed to throw the fight in the fourth round. He obviously does not. And he's able to continue fighting at higher and higher stakes to his promoters, but will continue to throw the fight in the fourth round. And in the climax of this movie, this takes a little bit of a backstory, but so Mickey is of the pikey persuasion. He's kind of a gypsy.
Neither English nor Irish. It's just pikey.
It's just pikey. The Bricktop, who is this kind of nefarious promoter who's running the whole thing and is insisting that he throws the fight, has set up a trap at his family's home, this pikey camp, saying that if he doesn't throw the fight, he's going to kill his family. So we know these stakes are up there. Mickey knows these stakes are out there. In the fight, he is kind of akin to what in Raging Bull. He's just getting walloped. He's taking all these punches. He's not even really throwing a punch. And there's a scene specifically where he takes a punch and he flies through the air. And then when he hits the mat, he actually kind of goes into this dream sequence of hitting the water and goes underwater.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And can see himself up through the water, like back up on the mat, laying down. And it kind of goes to this weird, dreamy, you know, altered consciousness kind of state. Then immediately like floats back to his body and then again throws one punch, wins the fight. So then there's more aftermath again about, okay, all of a sudden he did not throw the fight again as planned. And it's this, I'm glad you kind of touched on the Guy Ritchie freneticism because the things happen very quickly. Bricktop seemingly makes a call to order them to kill all the pikies at the camp. All he can hear on the phone is gunfire. Then he assumes that things go wrong, which they do. He goes to his car to get a gun and finds out that when he rolls down the window or asks them to roll down the window to give him a gun, he finds out that it's full of pikies who end up
shooting him in the face. Yeah, spoiler.
So it's a trigger for more violence, which, yes, in a movie full of violence. But that's maybe the most surprising, which is no small feat in that movie.
Yeah, it's an interesting twist. So I was originally drawn to that kind of scene of going underwater. We're very boxing heavy so far.
Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising for the
Yeah, I thought that too, yeah.
We'll change that later.
Lee and I will change that.
All right.
Yes.
You have like a Powder Puff football mention or something like that? So anyway, he goes like above the ground, underwater. Like that whole sequence is just very stylistic and interesting. But then the whole plot twist that happens after that I thought was very, like it's a touchstone for all these things that happen very, very quickly afterwards. So there you go. Two mentions for Snatch.
Nice. Right on.
Snatch for
2,
president.
Snatch 2, Raging Bull 1.
Electric Snatchaloo. What?
Sure.
Does that mean something I'm not aware of?
No, not at all.
But it will. As soon as I get my loan.
Oh!
I don't even know what that means.
Producer credit. ElectricSnatchaloo.com.
Lee, moving on. Lee, tell us about your first pick.
Well, my first pick was in a movie that we are all very familiar with, has one of the greatest movie montages of all time. And it's really the moment at the end where Daniel wins the tournament and wins respect by doing the crane kick, which, by the way, doesn't really work.
But, technically a legal maneuver.
Yeah, technically.
It probably is. Yeah.
So you see that coming from, I don't know.
It's a face shot.
10 feet away.
They already, they already determined that that was not a legal hit.
Yeah,
but it's
an
emotional hit.
It's, yes,
that's what counts.
It's an emotional point.
Yeah. Well, I remember
to
Billy
Zabka's face.
Yes. I remember seeing this movie when I was a kid, and you know, just going to it with a friend, not really having any expectations of it because I hadn't seen a lot of TV ads, and the ads that I saw, just I wasn't really impressed. It wasn't something that I was really anticipating. But when I walked out, I was completely blown away. I thought it was just a fantastic movie. And it followed a very classic storytelling structure where you introduce a character, you give him very, very terrible circumstances to have to solve himself, and then you bring him to his lowest point, and then you bring him back up.
Yep.
So I think that movie demonstrated that perfectly, and that's one of the greatest like endings, I think, to a movie.
Yep. So I have a logistical question that's always bothered me, and just watch the movie, but I'm not going to just yet. So in Karate Kid, Daniel gets one of his knees hurt, right? So he hurts his knee.
Supposedly.
Miyagi does the hands together, the drum.
The big clap.
The big clap. Yep. So, okay. So then Daniel's got one hurt knee. So the crane kick, he's standing on one leg, right? His arms are up. Like a Gullwing Mercedes. So he's standing there.
Or DeLorean.
Then a move happens. Yeah. Now, is the leg that he's standing on his good leg?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I believe that he had his left leg swept by what's-his-name, Cobra Kai. And
Johnny.
So no.
It was another one.
It was Bobby who gets
disqualified.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So he's standing on his good leg, and the other leg is kind of like a dog when it's injured, sort of curled up.
Yes.
So when the move happens, does he kick in the air, kick the face, and then land on the good leg? Is that one move, or does he kick and then land on his bad leg?
Actually, he lands on his bad leg.
I think he lands on the bad leg.
The move is that you're standing on your good leg, your bad leg is up in the air. You jump up and you basically fake with the opposite leg and then kick with the one on which you were standing.
Oh.
So then you're going to land on the opposite leg.
If you watch it again, he does, the leg that he's standing on is the leg that actually kicks Johnny in the face. He's on his bad leg briefly. When he's done kicking, he brings the bad leg
That's
up
right,
again.
He does. That's right.
Got it. So,
and just to reiterate, all illegal in the confines and rules pre-established in that tournament. Illegal.
Yes.
Yeah. Should have been disqualified. Should have been a Cobra Kai victory.
I've been watching How I Married Your Mother, the final season.
I Met Your Mother.
With Billy Zabka. As Billy Zabka in it. it's just been a glorious sort of retelling or reimagining of Karate Kid and how Neil Patrick Harris's character believes he was the actual true hero of that story.
Yeah, that Johnny Cobra Kai was the actual Karate Kid.
Awesome.
Yeah, Billy Zabka and Ralph Macchio are great in that series as themselves.
Yep.
Nice. All right, good one, Lee. Anything else you want to add? Anybody else want to add to that? I mean, it's classic. It's got maybe the classic 80s montage song, You're the Best Around, which I think tagged already. So, I mean,
fantastic.
I'll also say that the registration process for that tournament had gaping security holes. Oh, yeah, let's just have this box of black belts next to the table, and we'll just kind of hand one.
Yeah. I like it. What about that box of snakes? It'll be fine. All right, Jay, round off the first round for us.
Sure thing. I will go non-violent sport, unlike the rest of you, to the world of basketball. And not even that, high school basketball, with the classic Hoosiers, which is one of my favorite sports movies or movies of all time, I suppose. But it tells the story of Norman Dale, played by Gene Hackman, who is a disgraced college basketball coach who ends up getting a shot at redemption coaching a small town high school boys basketball team in Indiana where basketball is blood. And he finds his redemption in coaching them to the state championship. So the moment that I love, and it's, I guess, a very long moment, it's largely the entire last basketball game, the championship game, starting with this tiny little boys college or high school team from podunk nowhere getting to the big college arena in Indianapolis. And to calm their nerves, he walks up and he hands one of them a tape measure, and they measure how high the rim is and the backboard, and he has them measure everything. And just to point out that this is the exact same court that they play on every day. And it's just a sweet little moment. And then culminating with not one but two fantastic speeches to the team, and then just the great game to win the thing. But the beginning moment of him getting them there and then getting them calmed down, and then his speech at before the game talking about how it doesn't win or lose, it doesn't matter because of who they are and how they've played. And I still to this day, and I watch it fairly frequently, and I still can't make it through that last 20 minutes of film without getting a little bit of a lump in the back of the throat.
Yep. As they say in film spotting, it gets a little dusty in the room.
It's a little dusty.
It gets a little bit man dusty in there.
I like it.
A lot of specks and a lot of eyes.
Nice. I haven't seen that. I've seen that once when I was a kid, and I haven't seen it since, so I feel like I need to go back. And
it's a great, that one holds up very well.
I'll point out, and this has nothing to do with that moment, but earlier in the film, the sort of the hero of the team that leaves the team and Coach Dale has to get him back, there's a scene where he goes out to the farm to sort of talk this kid into playing again. If you watch that scene, it's this one straight steady shot of them talking while he's shooting three-pointers, and he probably shoots 15 to 20 of them and never misses in one solid film shot.
And this is
it's amazing.
Pre-CG.
Yeah. So he's just
it's like,
it
looks like he's throwing this, the wonkiest shaped basketball into the wonkiest shaped hoop. He just never misses.
And all the while they're just filming the scene. It's one continuous take, one cut, just down, down, down every time. It's awesome.
Nice.
I think he missed one maybe.
Nice. All right, so that wraps up the first round. Now we're going to hop back to Lee for the first entry in the second round. Lee, what was the second pick that you had?
Well, you know, I'm going to pull a little bit of an audible because I thought of this.
Yes.
Thought of this second one after I'd already filled it out.
Is it Snatch?
No. It's Raging Bull. No. but it's a moment at the end of the movie The Natural. When, you know, it's 2 outs, 2 strikes, and he's injured, and he's his bat that he loves so much is broken. Gets another one, and he hits this out of the park home run, and this is all in slow motion. It hits the lights, it's raining down the sparks, and as he's rounding the bases, we see a shot of the ball still going, and it dissolves into the next scene of him playing catch with his son. And I thought that was just a great transition.
Yep.
That's just a fantastic movie moment and a perfect way to end that movie. It's not the end of the game. It's the beginning of him being a father to this kid. So
yep. Nice. It's like the sports equivalent to the scene in 2001 where the monkeys are killing the other monkey, and then they throw the bone in the air, and then it fast forwards like thousands of years, and then there's space travel.
Yeah,
so it's pretty much the sports version of that.
Like that. That is so no closer analog.
Thanks, Lee, for making this a heartwarming episode, and thanks, Kyle, for totally ruining that.
It's not the murder; it's the evolution. Totally different.
I would have found it difficult had we had this discussion. The first take, we didn't talk about The Natural, but having this conversation about sports movie moments, it would be difficult to not have the end of The Natural.
Yeah.
It's quintessential in a filmmaking standpoint, and just from a sports standpoint, it's just perfect.
Yeah. Yep. You guys ready to shame me for having not seen it?
I haven't seen it either.
Ooh,
so I'm right there with you.
Oh,
that's all right.
Well, Lee, do you want to say it?
For shame.
It's a good segue.
Might be some foreshadowing into some future Remakers Mark episodes. We just had a good lengthy discussion. So you'll see, hopefully, if we get our stuff together, which I think we will.
Yes.
Yes. All right, Jer, what was your second pick?
I'm going to stick with baseball. And I'm going to go with the final game in the movie, The Naked Gun.
Oh, nice. Enrico Palazzo.
Yes!
Where our hero, yes. Leslie Nielsen,
Enrico Palazzo?
Who may or may not be Enrico Palazzo. Frank Drebin, the intrepid detective, is trying to track down one of the players of the...
Angels.
The California Angels. LA Angels at
California
the time?
Angels California Angels.
Yep. Who is supposed to be hypnotized and killing the Queen of England. And to best do that, he... assumes the role of the umpire of the game. And well, prior to that, he assumes the role of the singer Enrico Palazzo, who sings the national anthem.
And the bombs in the air.
Bunch of bombs in the air.
Oh, man.
So he becomes the ump and has no idea what umping is. And the first batter comes up and the pitch comes in and he hesitantly says strike. And then by the third pitch, he's having fun. And by three batters in, He is in his world, and it's a great montage, and it's just wacky and bizarre, and Leslie Nielsen plays it perfectly, and it's every cliche trope about baseball as our national pastime all rolled into this 15-minute scene. All the players' wives are spitting tobacco, and the queen is handing hot dogs down the aisle, and... The villain who's also there finds a finger in his
Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban. Oh, yeah, right. And it is the best Reggie Jackson role.
Oh, easily. Easily. So.
I must kill the queen.
And if you'll notice in that first at bat, he calls strike on the third strike before the ball even
it's halfway there and he's calling him out.
Yeah. I like how he's like frisking every batter as they walk up to the batter's box.
That's a good one. Good one, Jeff.
Good pick.
Thank you.
Nice. Mark, what's your second pick?
So my first pick was not really a sports movie, but my second pick is totally a sports movie. That is the hockey movie Miracle, which is about the 1980 Olympic men's ice hockey team that won the gold medal after having not won it for 20 years. Yeah, and there are a lot of moments that one could pick from this movie, but I think you probably have to go to that not final game, but that big game against the Soviet Union, which was
semifinals.
Yeah. It was the miracle game. And for you not hockey fans out there, the U.S. was playing the Soviet Union, and they were tied 3-3 in the third period, at which point the U.S. captain, Mike Ruzioni, scored the game-winning goal. The U.S. ended up winning the game 4-3. And that's not my moment, by the way. What a lot of people don't know is that goal was scored halfway through the third period. So after that goal... it was the game-winning goal, but there was still 10 minutes of game time left, which is a lot of time.
It's a lot of time.
It's a lot of tension.
Yes, and that's exactly my moment, is the final 10 minutes of game time, which in the film is represented in like 2 or 3 minutes, which is huge.
Yeah.
That's an enormous amount of screen time.
Yep.
And the film does it perfectly, where they basically just do a sequence of a bunch of different plays. And they make it one long, continuous sequence where the music gets more and more dramatic. The tempo just keeps rising and rising. And the tension just keeps building and building until finally the clock runs down to zero. And the audio cuts to Al Michaels' original audio of him saying, do you believe in miracles? And they win the game.
That's so nice.
That whole sequence, I think, is incredible. I love it. That's my favorite moment in sports.
I love that movie. In that moment of that movie, it's similar to how I felt when I watched Apollo 13, because you know how it ends, but you're still just on the edge of your seat with suspense and tension, waiting to see how the events unfold. And I think that's a huge credit to the movie itself as a storytelling tool. So
yeah,
I like that.
That's
very,
very well crafted drama. Just perfectly crafted drama. Yeah.
Who directed Miracle? Do you remember?
I do not remember.
I don't know if it was Chesterton. A name. I mean, I'm sure he had
Joey,
a name.
Junior
Shabadoo?
Yeah.
Joey Jojo!
So we are sure that the director has a name.
Right.
Was an identified and registered human.
Yeah.
But we don't remember who it is.
Yeah. Would you say, being that they're hockey players, that this was a miracle on ice.
Oh, wind.
Would you say that the song I Believe in Miracles, Where Are You From, Sexy Thing, originated from this scene that you just mentioned?
So is the Full Monty an interpretation of Miracle?
So I would agree with all these statements, and I would be so wrong.
fair enough.
There is much umbrage.
Much umbrage. Speaking of umbrage.
What is wrong?
You Andy? Sex-a-thing, yeah. What is your second pick, sexy thing?
Mine is the final strip it's scene snatch. From the Full Monty. No, that's not real at all.
Great. That's a different kind of sport.
Yeah, pole dancing is totally a valid sport.
I chose, for my second moment, the entirely implausible and fictitious American League Championship game between the Cleveland Indians and the New York Yankees.
Yes.
Implausable because at the time they were both in the same division.
In the film Major League.
In the film Major League, thank you.
Yep.
Yes.
But more specifically, the game-winning moment where Tom Berenger's character is at bat against this New York Yankees pitcher who I think Bob Uecker once says earlier in the movie that he threw at his own son in a father-son baseball game.
That's right.
I believe
he's just the surliest looking.
He's just the surliest looking
ex-con.
Character. I believe that Wesley Snipes' character Willie Mays Hayes is on second base at the time.
Yep,
and
he had just stolen second.
He just stolen second. So he got to first, stole second, and Tom Berenger's character calls his shot. So if you're any kind of a baseball fan at all, you know that calling your shot is a thing that only Babe Ruth does, and only Babe Ruth does.
Not anymore.
Oh, he probably still does it.
I mean, but anyway, so he's pointing out to center field, indicating, hey, I'm going to hit this next one into center field. So the pitcher doesn't like it, throws it at his head, knocks him down, doesn't hit him, but like, you know, throws it at his head and then gets back up, does it again. So calling a shot a second time, throws it at his head, knocks him down again. And I think he gets up and does it a third time, except what he actually does then is lays down a suicide squeeze bunt down the third baseline. So he's been calling a shot, so the third baseman is way, way back, not expecting a bunt. Tom Berenger's character isn't exactly speedy, but
he's a catcher with bad knees.
He's a catcher with bad knees at the end of his career. So the third baseman, there's this great moment in the third baseman, you can see him kind of like mouth the words, oosh, and start running in to field the ball, ends up throwing it to first. Tom Berenger's character is safe. And lands very painfully in slow motion on his bad knees.
Yeah.
It's just like, brutal.
That's rough. Yep.
Just one of those moments. It's a cringeworthy moment. But through all of that, Wesley Snipes' character, Willie Mays Hayes, is rounding third and going home. So it ends up beating the throw home, and they win the championship after being toilet fodder the year before.
So. Yeah, and won a pennant in like 30 years or something like that.
So they were supposed to be the laughing stock, and then they sort of played that up, and then they came around.
Yep.
Sort of Slapshot-like.
We talked about this a little bit in Slapshot, I think, where as opposed to Slapshot, where they goon it up in Major League, they actually play good
real baseball.
Yeah.
Well, and the whole point of the movie was that the owner was sort of putting together this team in order to lose
so she could transfer the team
to Florida or somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Much like Slapshot.
And then all these washed up has beens and never will bees and Charlie Sheen and what have you all decide that they're going to get really good.
So
it's a cool moment. Rene Russo's there and.
That's a great moment. I mean, it's a very funny movie that gets very serious and kind of uplifting.
It just goes into a great sports movie at the end.
It really does. Truly
like a dramatic, interesting, fun sports movie.
Yeah, and that moment is so amazing. It does the very typical but effective high drama thing.
Until
Tom Berenger's character lays down that bunt. And then all of a sudden, the soundtrack is just empty,
which is sound effects. Yeah,
and it's so still,
super loud, slow, footsteps.
And that great
moment of him hitting the bag with his foot, and then the ball hitting the glove a half second later. Those two big sounds.
And the
boom.
One that sticks on my mind is when the third baseman actually has fielded the ball and throws it into home, and the ball makes this sound, which is totally not real, but it's so effective.
It was supersonic, Mark.
It's a special ball. It gained the super abilities from that dramatic bunt.
I have to say, I played pitcher for a while, and my pitches were not that fast, but our catcher, the guy that played catcher for our team when I was a pitcher, had like a far better arm than I did as the pitcher, but he was a really good catcher, so he caught. But like times when people tried to steal second base, and all of a sudden I just hear some sort of commotion, and then I see the catcher stand up, and I go, oh no. So I try to duck, usually fairly successfully, but I heard some whistlers going over my head, so that's not that far out of...
The catcher throws the ball back to you harder than you threw the ball to the catcher.
Well, and it's just whipping over my head at an incredible rate towards the second base, and hopefully getting this, the person trying to steal. But I mean, this was like Little League. That dude had an arm. Holy mackerel. Yeah. All right. Good
that
pick.
Boy grew up to be Charlie Sheen.
That's the rest of the story.
Oh, nice. Who was that?
C. Everett Koop.
Nope.
No.
Dang it. Paul Harvey.
Surgeon General
Paul
C.
Harvey.
Everett
Paul Koop. Harvey. Yeah. We always come back to C. Everett Koop. Yeah.
I'm sure that after every patient died, he'd say, that's the rest of the story.
The rest of the story.
You've got cancer, and that's the rest of the story.
He must have said that a lot. Oh, all right, I'm going to wrap us up here.
All right, Kyle, go for it.
My pick for the second one and the last one here is basically the Cold War in cinematic form, which was the training montage from the movie Rocky IV.
Yes.
So I thought mine was the Cold War in cinematic form, but that really does it.
They would duke it out. That's a tough one. I would say in different stakes and different techniques, I'd say they're equally so. So Rocky is fighting the pride of Russia, Ivan Drago, played by Dolph Lundgren, MIT graduate Dolph Lundgren. And so the training montage is a juxtaposition between the training style and technique of Rocky Balboa, who is in a barn with wood and rocks and fire, and compare that to
in winter, somewhere in Siberia,
just really cold Russia, like
he's a caveman,
and he's an unfrozen caveman lawyer, and then Ivan Drago, who has all of the technology that 1980 whatever had to offer, which had lots of bloops and bleeps.
Which wasn't much.
It had oxygen masks that looked very intimidating. He kind of looked like the Terminator. Yeah. He had weights that had weights that looked fancy but difficult at the same time. He had lots going on there. So the montage is it's truly like the perfect sports montage. So
it really goes
back and forth between Rocky doing pull-ups on like a barn crossbar, and then Ivan Drago doing like weightlifting on fancy hydraulic weight things, and then there's like
the montage where Rocky chases the chicken?
Yes. No, that's in the first one.
No, that's in the first one.
He might as well have chicken. Though. Well, the chickens were very cold.
He climbs a mountain in this one.
Yeah, yes,
that's true.
Yes.
That's true.
And he lifts a bag of rocks.
Yep.
A wagon cart
of rocks.
Oh yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
And a bag of rocks. You're right.
Yep.
But
little
no chicken.
Little Johnny bag of glass. He's got that.
The bag of glass.
Yep.
The bag of glass.
So there's I think a Night Ranger song in there that's terrible but perfect. I mean, it is pretty much the in the song montage in South Park? No, Team America.
Yeah, Team America.
They say even Rocky had a montage.
And they were right.
And it was pretty much tying directly into that. It was just absolutely perfect for that. So yeah, see it, watch it. The whole montage is on YouTube. I'll try to link it up in the show notes, but it's it's extraordinary and terrible in all the ways that 80s cinema was extraordinary and terrible. All the right ways. And all the ways montages are extraordinary and terrible. So,
it is the definition of montage.
Yes.
Yeah. Truly.
We've labeled the two top montages of all sports movies, and that is Karate Kid and Rocky IV.
Yes.
You cannot beat either one of those.
You cannot. Yeah.
I would just like to point out that I rewatched Rocky IV recently, and there are three montages.
What?
Yeah.
Yes. Nice.
And the movie is under 90 minutes.
One third of the running time is montage.
86 of those minutes are montage.
My favorite part of the Rocky IV montage that you're talking about, Kyle, is when Rocky's training, every once in a while they'll cut to his trainer, and I can't remember his name, Mac or whoever it is.
Yeah.
And he would he's always sweaty, and he's kind of always look like super intense and like pumping Rocky up. And then you got Ivan Drago, and then you'll cut to his trainers, who are a bunch of scientists who would always just sort of look each other and sort of nod, like,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. We have done our work.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. Clipboards in hand, lab coats on.
Exactly.
Yes, Drago.
Writing
that is
on their
good.
Clipboards. Like the punch test where it shows how heavy his punch is, and like 290 or whatever it is. And I'm like, mm hmm. Yep.
Yes, good. Yes.
I imagine good. That Duh. Ivan Drago just kind of. Is just wondering what to do, and so he just decides to punch things because the scientists aren't telling him anything.
Yeah. There's no feedback.
They don't speak.
Here.
They just look at each other and nod.
Yeah, I am wet and punchy.
I guess I punch thing over here.
I punch
Rocky
wall
IV, starring Rainier Wolfcastle.
That'll be in the Humvee.
That was the joke. All right. So that will wrap up our very, very special. Yay! Holy crap, we're live and together and looking at each other. And we made it through it, guys. Good job. Yay. We totally didn't screw
it up. And apparently what we've learned from all this is that Hollywood does boxing and baseball movies really well.
That's about it.
It's kind of true. I mean, what's a tennis movie? Come on. Match Point? That's not even a tennis
movie. Football is America's sport.
There's no good football movies.
Longest
Yard is an enjoyable football movie.
I can't think of a good moment of Longest Yard.
I enjoyed Necessary Roughness, but I wouldn't say it's a good movie.
Yep, agreed.
The football in the crotch is probably the one. That was actually one of my first movement, the first version of this episode. From the film festival, The Simpsons?
In the Longest Yard.
They have a specific play of throwing the ball in the crotch.
That is great.
Against that defensive guard or something like that.
And then in the remake, the Adam Sandler remake, it's the ref. They throw it into the ref to get him to call the game. Nice. Legit, because he kept calling phantom penalties.
I'll suggest that The Replacements and Waterboy are pretty good football movies.
I will acknowledge that they are football movies.
I will acknowledge that they are pretty good.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, if you would like to find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast on the Math is Hard Network, check us out at mathishard.net. Everybody's making very fancy faces at me, and I appreciate that. You can find show notes for this episode where we'll provide links to all the movies, actors, and or actresses that we have discussed here. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at username MathIsHardNet. Thank you. Turns out the ship's coming in, so I guess we've got to go. Thank you for sticking with us. This is a lot of fun. We hope you had fun, too. If you want to provide feedback about picks that you had, we didn't reach out to Twitter or Facebook this time because we thought we had enough to deal with just each other. But please provide feedback. We'd love to know what your favorite sports movements are. Gentlemen, this was wonderful. I'm so happy that Andy is here and that we are all here together.
Yay.
Until the next time, whether in person or not, may the force be with you. And cheers.
And also with you.